Hello, it's Wednesday, the 13th of March in the year of our Lord, 2024. We're back with another nightly news. I'm joined tonight with my wonderful co-host, Miss Catherine Watkins.
Good evening.
You're a bit quicker tonight, well done. And the wonderful Christine Miner.
Always happy to be here.
Good, good, good. What a day. I've been a little bit stressed out today, and I am going to say I've had so many messages today with regards to people talking about a certain young lady royal who we're going to get into a minute. But so many people have been messaging me, and I just want to say to everybody, back in very early January when I did pose the question, maybe it was mid-January, where the hell was she? Everyone, why are you bothering with this? She's in hospital. She's doing it. Okay, here we are, eight weeks later. So we're going to start where we always start with Kate Watch. Everyone's talking about Kate Watch. Everyone is asking, hashtag, where is Kate? Even Variety magazine have done a piece today, and it's quite astonishing, actually. I don't think they've got quite the timeline completely right, but it's very revealing of what they're saying. They are literally, I think they've just listened to our shows, to be fair. So they've done a countdown, a timeline of where the effing hell is Kate. So they start with the 25th of December, which we have discussed, where she was on Christmas Day and they'd been to church. They're at Sandringham, right next door to Rose Hanbury. She was there. She looked good. She looked in good spirits. Then something happened that night that she got rushed to hospital. But Variety.com isn't mentioning that. They are jumping through. They miss the fact that cars were spotted in like a convoy rushing out of Kensington Palace in the dead of night. And I will find that video because there's a video out there. They see that somebody's filming the cars rushing there. They've jumped straight through to January the 16th. And they're saying, unbeknown to anyone outside the Royals and Liberty Tactics, Kate underwent planned abdominal surgery in a private hospital in London, Kensington. And would, oh, sorry, Kensington Palace would confirm the surgery, wouldn't confirm the surgery until the following day. Well, we know that she was rushed into hospital on Boxing Day and she was in there for weeks. And on the 17th of January, a statement came out to announce that Kate successfully went abdominal surgery the previous day and would remain in hospital for up to 2 weeks before recovering at home. They declined to disclose any further details of the surgery, but said she was unlikely to return to public duties until after Easter. Also, that day came a statement from Buckingham Palace press office revealing that King Charles had to undergo a medical exam the following week for an enlarged prostate. Kate's desire to keep the reasons for her surgery a secret were understandable. In a contrast with Charles' openness about his prostate exam and leads to an explosion of rumours and conspiracy theories across the internet, the range of speculative with online commentators suggesting an abdominal surgery could mean a hysterectomy or even a colostomy, requiring a colostomy bag, too ludicrous, with some people across the internet suggesting Kate was dead. So on the 28th of January, I'm amazed they mentioned this actually. Concha Calleja, the Spanish news anchor, the royal reporter, was claiming, as was Liberty Tactics, but it all came from Concha Calleja, that Kate was in an induced coma and needed life-saving intervention during a stint on the news show Fiesta. She added, Kate was first hospitalized on December the 28th. I thought it was December the 26th. So I take that back. Sorry. And just days after her last public appearance, and the decision was made to operate. So the Times of London absolutely denied Concha Calleja's claims. On January the 29th, She supposedly was discharged from hospital, even though there were no pictures of her leaving hospital. There were no pictures of her family. There was no pictures of the children. There was no thanks. Nothing. So on the 6th, Charles, it comes out that Charles has cancer on February the 6th. March the 4th, TMZ publishes a single paparazzi picture of Kate in the passenger seat alongside her mother as they drove through Windsor with their car with three extra back wheels. Oh, dear. So on March the 6th, Kate's uncle goes into the Big Brother house. Mother's Day. Oh, dear. Kensington Palace decide to release a picture supposedly taken by the Prince of Wales, William, celebrating, he's taken a picture of Kate and her children celebrating Mother's Day. That's what we're told. Ah, dear, it just gets better. The following day, after people had noticed the picture and there was uproar because the mainstream press wouldn't post it. They wouldn't use it because they could see it was clearly, as could everyone, that it was doctored. And so I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they came out with supposedly a statement from Kate saying, as Kat read the other night, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. The statement continued, I want to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. Why couldn't they just show a photo of her saying that? Or just do a little video clip of her saying that?
Because it's not true, is it?
They're lying.
So it gets better. Then they decide, they thought it was a really good idea to post a picture. It's just embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. And it's come from Kensington Palace, the first proper picture of Kate. And what do you see? Prince William sitting in probably a Range Rover with a person's head looking out the window at a brick wall. Could have been me. Could have been Kat. Could have been Epstein.
It was me.
It was Christine in Alabama.
It is absolute insanity. Now, they've also missed out the death of Andrew Kingston, who was found, we were told, with a wound to the back of his head. Not a shot, but a wound at his parents' house, but there was a gun in the room. They didn't mention that. They didn't mention that Prince William went to the Royal Ambulance dinner with some woman who's involved in his Earth Prize project, who looks a little bit like Rose and a little bit like Kate. Very cozy, sitting out to dinner. And then he's got King Constantine's memorial, which he doesn't go to, which was only across the path, like across the green to go to. And instead of saying it was personal business and he was looking after Kate, no. What do? Prince William can't attend, but he's got nothing to do with the murder of Andrew Kingston. Okay, whatever you say. Then he turns up the following day with bruises down his neck. Still no Kate. Kate then gets pulled off the... what event was it? She's due to go to an event, isn't she? Not the changing the guard. Who? Trooping of the Colour. She's down to be in attendance in Trooping of the Colour. And then that quickly gets removed off the website. So, jump forward now to March 13th. During Watch What Happens Live on Tuesday night, host Andy Cohen asked British comedian John Oliver what everyone is thinking. what the effing hell is going on with Kate? Yeah, well, Liberty Tactics was asking it first. There is non-zero chance she died 18 months ago, Oliver replied. They might be weekend Bernie-ing this situation. I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying it's non-zero. What? I'm not saying it's not happened. I'm saying it's non-zero until proved otherwise, until we see her with a copy of today's newspaper.
They're insisting that they show proof of life for Kate, which is what we've been screaming since January.
Yep. And interesting, let's keep going. This is a big Kate watch tonight. Sorry, Kat. Having to you to endure this when there's so many other serious issues going
on. That's all right. William, I apologize.
Prince William yesterday went to the funeral of Pippa Middleton's ex and also the son-in-law of Prince and Prince Michael of Kent. And according to page 6, Prince William attends the funeral of Pippa Middleton's ex, Thomas Kingston, after death by suicide.
Kate couldn't make that either.
Well, Prince William did attend the private funeral of his cousin, Lady Gabriella Kingston's husband, Thomas Kingston, on Tuesday. The royal family came together to honour Kingston, who died February the 25th at age 45. Pretty, they couldn't all come together just to prop Kate up so she can have a photo, but okay. Over 100 friends, not Kate, and family gathered for the private service at the Chapel Royal in St. James's Palace in London. Lots of pictures of him and her. King Charles was not present as he continues to take on a lower profile while he battles cancer. Queen Camilla, I can't say that, Camilla was also not in attendance as she was too busy drinking gin. Prior commitments to host a reception at Buckingham Palace. Lady Gabriella married Kingston in 2019 and they go to the races a lot. They've got horses. He looks like a horse. And Buckingham Palace announced his death on the 27th. What date did we see that parade in London where you don't ever see a white horse with the household cavalry? And there was that cavalry and he was carrying on.
That was the day that Rockefeller...
No, Rothschild, I think, died the following day, wasn't it? But maybe you think it was that... Okay. I wonder if they were the same time. That's what was just interesting. Prince William went there. They go into a bit of his history. No, nothing about Kate. A little bit about Pippa. So there's that on the Kate Watch. And... I think that's where we end tonight's Kate Watch. So here we are. Christine, you've had a scout around. You've got some news from across the pond.
I do have some news from across the pond, and it's very interesting. I've got a quick update on Boeing. We had heard that the Boeing whistleblower, John Burnett, 62 years old, was found dead in a parking lot with, quote, a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Well, his attorneys are saying, yeah, we're not buying that. Not at all. He was totally looking forward to continuing what he was doing. They are insisting on an investigation into his death, and they want answers. So I'm thrilled that they've picked that up and they're going to run with it. I don't think we've heard the end of this by any stretch. And for any of you traveling often, please do not fly Boeing right now for your own safety.
Can I just ask, what state was he found in, and how, if there's an investigation?
Well, the coroner's office said that he died from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm trying to see where this happened. I don't know if this one says. It doesn't say. His attorneys say that he was in very good spirits and was really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. They didn't see any indication that he would take his own life, and no one is believing this. So I know that that happened a couple days ago, and I apologize. I am not sure where that happened, but we'll
Hey,
check with
what
that.
else you got?
So there was a House bill that approved today, actually, forcing TikTok's parent company to sell the juggernaut social media app or face a practical ban in the US, which Trump has warned would mean Facebook and Zuckerbucks is going to blow up. They're going to basically double in size. And everyone is yelling, what happened to free speech, right? So you've got this battle between, half the people think this is Chinese CCP propaganda, and the other half think it's free speech. And so the battle, I guess, today has been somewhat taken to a new level on that. And we'll see kind of where it goes from there. But it
I think
did.
I'm going to bring in my. Sorry, Christine. Come on.
That's okay. The bill passed 352 to 65 in the House. So.
Okay, well, I think this kind of links to. I don't know, Kat, what do you think of TikTok? I mean, I've got my views. A lot of information's coming out, but the stuff that kids can see on there is frightening. We know
Yes,
it's banned.
it is.
China. It's a Chinese
It's a
app.
Chinese. It's a Chinese communist app, and it is. There's a lot of paedophilia. There's a lot of stuff that children are not enticed in by that. It's dangerous. It is. I haven't got TikTok. Look, I know that some people will argue the toss on that. Adults will argue the toss on that, and they, well, they've got loads of truth videos and stuff, and they have. But then you've still got it mixed with all that crap, right? TikTok's all right for adults, I would say, right, for information and stuff. Kids shouldn't be anywhere near it. They shouldn't be anywhere near
No.
it. And that is, well, I don't care if people are offended by that or not. It's a groomer's paradise on there. And like I say, it is a Chinese communist app.
Exactly.
Yeah,
So that's what
exactly.
I
I think about
collect your
that.
data, and it's a dangerous thing. And
Yeah, I've never used it, but absolutely.
yeah. Well, I've got
So.
this, which really does link in. And this is, it's a really difficult subject. We're going to be talking about self-harming, sex abuse. And but this links very, 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 very much into what we just talked about in regards to TikTok. Right. So I've got this article. It's actually from coming from the Washington Post, and it's on MSN. Popular online platforms, predatory groups coerce children into self-harm. So there is an editor's note saying this story describes extremely disturbing events. So it could upset people. So come back in a couple of minutes if it gets too much. Okay, so they're talking about the person in the online chat introduced themselves as Brad. Using flattery and guile, he persuaded the 14-year-old girl to send a nude photo. It instantly became leverage. Over the following 2 weeks, back in April 2021, himself and other online predators threatened to send the image of the girl to classmates in Oklahoma unless she live streamed degrading and violent acts. This is coming from the girl's mum to the Washington Post. They coerced her into carving their screen names deep into her thigh, drinking from a toilet bowl, beheading a pet hamster, all as they watched in a video chat room on Discord. The pressure then escalated until she faced one final demand to kill herself on camera. Wow. The mother said, you just don't realize how quickly things can happen. She intervened before her daughter could act on the final demand. The mother agreed to talk about the experience to warn other parents, but did so on the condition of anonymous, I can't say this word, Anonymity. Of concerns for her daughter's safety. Thanks, girls. The abusers were part of an emerging international network of online groups that have targeted thousands of children with sadistic form of social media terror that authorities and technology companies have struggled to control, according to an examination by the Washington Post, Wired magazine, Der Spiegel in Germany, and The Recorder in Romania. There is a video that goes along with this. It will be in the show notes on the website under this show. I'm just going to continue with this because it has to be heard. I'm sorry. The perpetrators identified by authorities as boys and men as old as mid-40s. They seek out children with mental health issues and blackmail them into hurting themselves on camera. The examination found they belong to a set of evolving online groups, some of which have thousands of members that often splinter and take on new names, but have overlapping membership and use the same tactics. Unlike many sextortion schemes that seek money and increasingly graphic images, these perpetrators are chasing notoriety in a community that glorifies cruelty victims and law enforcement officials say. The FBI issued a public warning in September, identifying 8 such groups that targeted minors between the ages of 8 and 17, seeking to harm them for the members' own entertainment and sense of fame.
Wow.
There's more. Regulators and social media have long criticized and scrutinized Facebook and Instagram on how they can harm children. They need to look at YouTube as well, because YouTube now has a YouTube Kids. And
they're all doing it. Yes. They're all doing it. This is why I keep saying to people, this is why Grace hasn't got a phone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it's so dangerous, and people just think they don't even oblivious to it for a start. And then if they do see it, they think, oh, it won't happen to my kid. How many kids are upstairs on their devices behind them closed doors constantly, mind? Right? Listen. Most people don't have a clue while their kids are going on. Seriously, it can happen to absolutely anybody. It really can happen to anybody. Doesn't matter whether you're rich, you're poor, you're white, you're black, you're young, you're old. It can happen to, vulnerable adults too. But of course they're going to target kids because they're the most vulnerable. It's absolutely disgusting. And I tell you why I blocked TikTok in the end, right? Because I did put the app on my phone because I was messing about it, if you remember, Lou. I was trying to do stuff, wasn't I? So when I logged on to it, what was happening, every time I opened the app, I would get videos of like half naked women and naked women gyrating around on the floor. I'm like, why am I getting all this stuff? And somebody said to me, oh, it's because you've got to put in what your preferred genre, what you're the material you want to see, like music and blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but the fact that I haven't been getting this stuff means that every child that's logged on to it there is going to get the same thing. Honestly, people have no idea that if you can see it, your kids can. Do you know what I mean? People are so oblivious to it, and it is so dangerous from both sides of the coin, Lou. Do you know what I mean? I'm a victim and a predator, because these predators were, they were created through something, weren't they? You know, it's frightening. It really is frightening.
And
so, is that girl okay?
Huh?
Is that girl okay? The young girl.
Well, I'm going to get to this in a minute, because this is it gets quite a lot worse, and we're bringing Telegram into the mix in a minute.
Okay.
So the girl, the group that targeted the girl and others interviewed for this report. So the group that's targeting them is a group called 764, named after the partial zip code of the teenager who created it back in 2021. Its activities fit the definition of domestic terrorism, the FBI recently argued. Wait, you need to listen to this. Telegram, which all of us use probably. It's got 800 million monthly users. On Telegrams, members of these kind of groups post child pornography, videos of corpses, desecration, images of the cuts they have made children inflict on themselves, according to victims, and an examination of messages in chat groups with as many as 5,000 members. They brag about their abusive acts and goad each other on. They share tips on where to find girls with eating disorders and other vulnerabilities congregating online, and on how to manipulate them. In a group chat on Telegram this past April, or last year, one such member wrote that he had obtained an 18-minute video of a minor engaging in sexual acts. He wrote that she was the 14th girl this month. The platforms say deterring these groups is an urgent priority, but after creating the spaces that predators from around the globe use to connect with one another and find vulnerable children, even removing thousands of accounts each month has proved insufficient. The targeted users start new accounts and swiftly reconvene, according to victims. In a statement, Telegram did not respond to detailed questions about this network, but said it removes millions of pieces of harmful content each day through proactive monitoring of public parts of the platform and user reports. Child abuse and calls of violence are explicitly forbidden by Telegram's terms of service. Wait a second. So the actions, this is from Discord. The actions of 764 are appalling and have no place on discourse here in society. The company said in a statement, since 21, when discourse first became aware of 764 group, disrupting groups and its sadistic activities has been among the safety team's highest priority. So the founder of 764 is a 16-year-old boy in Texas who used variations of the screen names Felix or Brad while running the group's online operations from his mother's home. Bradley Codenhead soon developed a following online as the leader of a self-described cult that prized sadistic acts, according to court records that describe both his online and real world lives. Oh, it's just shocking. It reversed a part of his zip code. Starting in 2020, the company spokeswoman for Discord noticed that child sexual abuse material was being uploaded. This is just... And it's Telegram. Can you imagine what goes on in that Snapchat?
And it says that he became fascinated with violent imagery at the age 10.
I bet you any money he was watching violent pornography. I put my life on it.
I guarantee you he's a victim of sexual assault. He's a victim also of violence, and God only knows what he's been forced to do. It has already wrecked his world by 10.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the problem with it. And like people are not understanding the bigger picture of what is going on. Yeah.
Yeah, this is evil.
The thing is, with you over there, Christine, it's so rife. It's so rife. I mean, it is here, but it isn't. It's kind of hushed up, isn't it? It's like compartmentalized. Where in America, it's huge, isn't it? It's a major, major problem because of your open borders, the child sex. It's huge. We know it goes on here. It goes on in the institutions. We know the children. We know how it works. We know.
It's going on everywhere. It's going everywhere.
And the children are being abused. And then if they're having to go into school as well, say that they're being sexually abused, etc. But then they're going into school and it's being normalized.
It's being taught that it's perfectly legal, perfectly normal. We should all accept it and embrace it. Yeah, of course. And it's disgusting. It's absolutely pure evil. This is so... You know what this is? This is the softening or the... there's a word I'm seeking. When they try to get you used to something that is so shocking and they normalize it through visual
desensitization.
They are desensitizing these children to the dark web.
Yeah.
This is the entry point to what really is happening behind the scenes. This is a bunch of kids doing this in the heartland of America, you guys, in Texas, in Oklahoma. This is not New York City. This is not LA. This is the Bible Belt, you guys. This is the most conservative part of our country, and these are our children that they're after. Okay? So if you don't understand the way evil operates, you don't know how to stop it. And we have to understand that this spreads like wildfire. It spreads like wildfire. And every family has to stop it at their own front door. You better be checking your kids' phones. They don't need to be playing video games out of your sight. They don't need to be talking to anybody else on chat on a video game. No, 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 no. Books need to make a comeback. Real education needs to make a comeback. Taking your children out of school and putting them in nature, showing them life and good things and how the world really should operate, and teaching them the right way to do things, not allowing them to be sucked in to this AI fantasy world, is imperative. It's got to start with us. Has to. Wow. You're both on mute.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. It's a dangerous place, you know? And I just figured, you know, I am lucky with Grace, obviously, because she's not in school. So I got that, you know, she hasn't got that peer pressure to have a phone anyway. And she, you know, so she's not bothered by not having one. But because when she's, you know, sort of 15, 16, whatever, 15, I'll give her a phone, she will know the dangers then. Do you know what I mean? Because I haven't given her one when she was six. So I was never, you know, this is the problem. People are giving them to their kids and just letting them fly away with it. And not even, these kids don't understand the dangers at all then. Whereas when she's a little bit older, she's going to understand that. She's going to understand. Go on.
On the other flip, your kids go out into town. Okay, maybe not so much in the valleys, but there are kids that, like the inner city parts of city towns. They go out. Yeah, that probably all their mates have got phones and what have you.
Exactly.
But it's just,
yeah.
It is a safety issue. If my child got separated,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Well, then that's, just say Nokia then, and not have a smartphone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just give them a Nokia, and they'll never
absolutely.
Have a phone again. They can throw it against the wall. The battery will never run out. It's the perfect answer, isn't it? But yeah, I know
it
what you're
really
saying.
It really is,
that.
Actually.
Yeah. They Those Nokias were brilliant, mind. They were, you couldn't break them. If you threw them at the wall, you'd make a whole wall. Do you know what I mean? The phone would still be intact.
Right.
So, and you can ring and text off it. So you're still able to use it without having all the danger on it. You know what I mean? I totally understand. Especially now, you know, in the world we're living in
exactly.
Now, I wouldn't let her, you know, she has a phone, but isn't, you can ring out or use the internet on there. So when she needs to ring me, she'd say, it's like an SOS thing. So it gives me a message saying, call me. And then I ring her, see? So she's got that when she is out without me. But you can't go on the internet or anything with it. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I'm going to bring something up in this story. It covers it much later in the story. Like, how did she get into this, right? Well, she got into this the same way they all do, or most of them do. Most understand that this is step one into her being trafficked. Okay, that's what they're not telling you, but that's the truth. This is how victims become trafficked. She thought she had met someone online that really liked her and wanted to be her boyfriend. And he was really nice to her for the first couple weeks, right? And then he starts asking her to do things, and he's already buttered her up and got her thinking that they're just together and he loves her and everything's good. And then she starts doing these things for him. Well, then he brings a friend in. Okay. Now he's passing her off. And you see how that happens. It's the same thing in human trafficking. It's the same Yeah. The fact that these 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that know how this works is frightening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's how they do it. It's the grooming process, isn't it?
And they're you know, don't get me the wrong. Children to groom other children now.
Yeah, yeah, that exactly how it works. And it works better for them that way because it's easier than using force, because trafficking, obviously, you can be forced to be trafficked.
Well,
a lot of it is coercion
and
fraud.
If this 14, 15, 16-year-old kid gets caught doing this, what's the worst that can happen? They're going to send him to juvie. But the people in charge of it for real aren't going to be touched.
No, exactly. Exactly. And that's how it works. You just, you know, sort of hang the lower level ones and that's because we know they're all involved in it anyway. So they're going to be protected, you know. It's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous, isn't it? And we're living among it. It's just blows my mind. It really does.
Wow. Lou, did you have any more on that story? Because that is a
no,
really-
I've got no more on that. But I do have another story here that I wouldn't mind touching. And I'm going to hold my hands up. I've been so busy, what with getting videos out, getting the news out. And I've been speaking to Gary Waterman and trying to get him in touch with people. It's been a very busy day, but this has just popped up. Scotland's controversial hate crime laws have come into force. And, oh, sorry, no, they don't. They start on April the 1st. And it was passed in March of 2021. It's been heavily criticised throughout the whole process. The legislation will create a new offence for stirring up hatred against protected characteristics. Shit. Including age, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, matching a similar offence based on race that has been on the statute book for decades. The final debate before its passage, the First Minister of Scotland, Humza Yousaf, who was then serving as the Justice Secretary, said no one would be found to have stirred up hatred for solely stating their belief, even they did so in a robust manner. I think this is going along the lines, I can't confirm it, but if they're bringing in to do with race, sexuality, remember they, you know, Scotland have used the word map before. And I'm sure
exactly you just hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what it's for. Because let's be honest, right? When they say, oh, you know, because of the protected characteristics, they may well say age and disability. I guarantee you, they
exactly.
don't give a shit about that. They just threw those in to make it look like, you know, oh, how inclusive it is to those protected characteristics. They mean one thing only, and that's sexual orientation. Why do people think
that could just be anything, couldn't it? Any kind of characteristic.
Exactly. Any sexual orientation. Well, they're pushing the map thing. They're trying to get it in as a sexual orientation. So where do we go with this? That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is where the loopholes come in, guys. This is where the loopholes come in from a legal point of view. It's just, oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
And I'm sorry. And like, I'm sorry. This is Britain, okay? This is my...
Yeah, he's obviously not Scottish.
My great aunts. They fought for the sovereignty of this country, right? They fought for it. Our values have gone. We have got... Sadiq Khan running London. We have something. Oh God, I'm going to get slammed because I can't pronounce the guy's name. The Yousaf in Scotland. The most popular name in the country is Mohammed.
Right.
You can. I'm not. Right. I don't see. It's not about. This is about sovereignty and our country. Could you imagine somebody from here going over to Pakistan or India and putting their laws and belief and making them and going taking over the country? And what would happen with the people and the public? Do you think that they would stand for it?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
I mean, I'm probably speaking hate. I'm probably committing a hate crime here and hate speech, which I truly am not. I just want my values. I want my children to know history. It's, you know, it's probably been, we know it's whatever. I'm not going to go down that route. But I found a video the other day, and I think I shared it, from 1970. And it was people in Southall. Now, Southall in London, even when I was young, like growing up, Southall was very much a minority of, it was the minority, you know, you had a lot of people from India, Pakistan, in that area of Southall. That's, you know, that's where it was. This interview was sometime in the 70s, with two couples, and they were being asked what they think of immigration. People with their beliefs and, you know, different religions and with their, you know, with what's going on, it, you know, it won't work. You know, we're English and, you know, it's no disrespect to them, but, you know, we're only a small country and, you know, we've all fought to keep this country what it is and that's what we want. And then, like, during the 80s and the 90s, Southall has become the main part. You know, you've got mosques going up all over in London. You've got communities of Muslims every Friday going to the mosques. Do you see anybody on a Sunday, whatever? I'm not going to get into the debate whether the day is Saturday or the Sabbath is the Saturday and the Sunday. I'm just talking. Do you see communities of people going off to church anymore? No. Do we know of any schools holding a traditional nativity anymore? No.
And everything. That's the point, right? If they can,
exactly. So
if they can demoralize your nation, if they can separate your families, if they can cause division.
But they're also erasing history because they're not learning about these things. They're learning in school about transgender, about masturbation. They are learning, and they're not even being told real history. So really, Britain, as we know it when we were growing up, could really be erased completely. That didn't happen. It's always been the top, the main name of the country is Mohammed. Sadiq Khan runs London. They want Sharia law. Every single, even little villages, they're going to be, but that's how it's always been because the English people, and now we've got more illegal immigrants coming in from God knows where. There isn't going to be anyone left who's English, that we're going to be bred out. And I really do think people should think about, we've got an election coming up and those people represent you. I know it's just nonsense and I know you should go in, you know, I'm not going to say what's going, but there are ways people are saying what you should do and go into the voting booth and do this. Or that. What we know it's nonsense, but as of this moment in time, we've got an election and the people are representing us. We always ask for people just to find out what their MPs are thinking of the RSE. But there's so much more, as just as the RSE. We're going to be extinct. And our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, are just, it's frightening. It's frightening. Catherine, sorry, I've waffled, but it's really, really important the more you look at it.
Well, it's all part of the plan though, isn't it? You know, it is all part of the plan. And it couldn't be more evident now. And I got to be honest with this one. So years ago, and people, you know, when I was waking up and looking at everything and whatever, I kind of did get sucked into that whole left agenda a little bit. That was concerned, you know, thinking, oh, you know, we do. I'm not saying, you know, the wars are fought for bankers at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? We do go over and destroy countries and we do misplay.
Yep.
But so I was thinking, you know, I was kind of that side, oh, we let him in and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of just let it go over my head for ages. And it only really sort of got, because I got caught up in everything else, you know what it's like, we're caught up in everything else and people are doing their own thing and whatever. And obviously I'm focused on the kids. And it was the court case, right, in 2022 in November. And a couple who I know from where I live, they had got a babysitter for their kids and they were going to come down to the hotel in Cardiff for 2 nights just so they could be there. Anyway, they were there that day, but they had to get a different hotel. I tried to get a hotel around the corner. She did tell me the name of it. And she said they didn't have a single room in this. Should I think it's all migrants? And that sort of rung in my head a little bit. And then I saw like this list of hotel, and then I was looking at it and I'm just thinking, hang on a minute. We are actually being invaded, and we have been for a while, but now it's got to the point where it's really obvious. You know, have we done too much damage already? I don't know what you think, but you are right. It is vital. It's nothing to do with them at all. This is to do with, you know, protecting. We don't know any of it. We don't know they're allowed to come in whatever. And, you know, we were led to believe as well. We were all led to believe that we were helping families in distress. So what would we expect to see? Even from that point of view, without looking at anything else, we would expect to see families, lots of families. Then why is it that it's just men from age 18 to sort of 40 or whatever? No children, no women. This is an invasion. This is an invasion. I don't think there's any. And we've seen a lot of the things that has been going on. And in Ireland as well, you know, when we first had Andy on. And he was explaining what was going on over there. And I was like, whoa. And he said, like, there was that really small village with, like, I don't know, maybe 470 inhabitants or something, tiny. And they put, like, 200 or something. Like, almost, I just, you know, what on earth is going on? And I think it was foretold, wasn't it?
It's you know, it's losing our values. Our kids don't know. You know, don't know the history of the country, you know, even though it's all been corrupt, you know, the history's written by the victors.
The truth is out there, though. You know, you say that and you're
it is out there, but it's our values. You know, we were predominantly a Christian country. Okay.
Yes. Even
it was whatever. But, you know, you'd have your nativity. You would go to, you know, you believe in the baby Jesus and blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
There's a photo of me somewhere. I would have been about six, maybe seven, and I was the star in the nativity play. So I had my little white dress on holding the star. And, you know, now what do they have? They have them turning up as turtles and ferrets and stuff. Or
and There's no mention. No. You know, we always used to say the Lord's Prayer.
No Lord's Prayer, no hymns in the morning. You know,
exactly. We every single day at assembly, you would say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
And we also had to stand up when a teacher came in the room. When somebody came into the room, you'd stand up.
And we did as well, yeah. Everything's changed, but it's been, as we know, this agenda's been a long time, hasn't it? You know, for the morals to go, they use the likes of McKinsey. Do you know what I mean? To be able to, you know, to lead the world into immorality, and they had to take God away, and they did. I don't think anyone can argue with that. Like you say, you just got to look back when we was in school. We used to, and now that's not the case at all. You know, they you know, arresting people in countries for praying outside abortion clinics, and so this is just. I think it's evident what they've done, isn't it?
And you get thrown in prison if you've got a bloke walking down with a beard, wearing a dress, and you call him a bloke. You'll get arrested for misgendering. Like it is.
We live in crazy times. Crazy times.
Have you seen the film Idiocracy?
Yes. Do you know what? The first time I watched it, I didn't realise how old it was. I watched it last year. I was like, wow, this is it, isn't it?
Just got a little update, just something to add on to this hate crime bill, just very quickly. The legislation makes it illegal to stir up hatred against protected characteristics such as age, disability, religion, sexual orientation. To help members of the public report incidents of hate crime, Police Scotland has designated numerous sites as third-party reporting centres, with most being based in community buildings such as Citizens Advice Bureau, housing associations, libraries and council. However, Police Scotland is coming under fire for listing an LGBT+ sex shop called Luke and Jack in Glasgow's Merchant City as one of these sites.
Wow.
You couldn't make this up, could you? You couldn't make it up. Seriously? I'm surprised. I'm not even surprised. I don't know why I said that. I'm not surprised. I'm just sickened. How are these people going to...
There is absolutely No words. Right, I'm getting triggered. So, Christine, over to you.
Well, we have news.
I need to go and find a safe space.
Go ahead, darling. I
understand. Sorry.
Go on. Well, we have news from the White House. There is a new revelation. This comes from Trending Politics. New revelation puts Jill Biden at the center of a growing Me Too scandal in the White House. And no, it's not Joe. Anthony Bernal, 50-year-old. I'm trying to think of his actual title here. He's Jill's work husband. That's how the story describes him.
Probably so, a chief of staff.
The work husband of First Lady Jill Biden is a known sexual harasser in the White House who remains untouchable by human resources over their friendship, according to former Biden aides who spoke with the New York Post. Anthony Bernal, 50, has openly speculated about the penis size of several colleagues, according to three individuals granted anonymity to speak about a toxic workplace culture they say is another Me Too situation waiting to happen. He's made a lot of inappropriate remarks and comments talking about other people's attractiveness and speculating about their sex lives and very weird moments. That's actually sexual harassment. It reflects poorly on the president and on the first lady. They talk a big game about integrity, decency, and kindness, but when you work for the Bidens, you experience anything but that. So that's what's happening in our White House today. And I thought that was kind of interesting on the heels of Fanny. You know, Fannie Willis and her lover Nathan Wade have been going over Trump. They've been going after Trump.
So just for the UK listeners, mm-hmm. Fannie Willis is who? Fannie Willis is New York, is she?
She is. Fannie Willis was the district attorney residing over the Fulton County, Georgia case over President Trump. I think there were 18 co-defendants. So Judge Scott McAfee quashed 6 counts against Trump and his 18 co-defendants today, writing that there is not sufficient evidence of solicitation of violation of oath by public officer. The court's concern is less that the state has failed to allege sufficient conduct of the defendants. In fact, it has alleged an abundance. However, the lack of detail concerning an essential legal element is, in the undersigned opinion, fatal, McAfee wrote. Heard closing arguments from several lawyers involved in the racketeering case of former President Donald Trump and others. We were talking about the racketeering charges in the Diddy case.
Into this. A woman who previously sued Diddy and R&B singer Aaron Hall for alleged sexual assault claims she was 16 at the time of the incident. And this is in a new amended lawsuit that was filed only yesterday. In the new report, which Rolling Stone's been picking up on, the news outlet states the woman claimed Diddy and Hall assaulted her and her friend at Hall's apartment in 1990 and 1991. The alleged assault occurred after an event at the offices of MCA Records, according to the lawsuit filed back in November. So this is the case we were talking, where there were other people in the room. I think it was to do with Harvey Pierre, wasn't it? I think this is the same thing. As previously reported, the woman, who is identified in the lawsuit as Lisa Gardner, says she met Coombs and Hall at an event that MCA was hosting. In the suit, it alleges Coombs and Hall were very flirtatious and hands-on with Lisa and her friend, and offered them drinks throughout the evening. Towards the end of the evening, Coombs and Hall allegedly invited Gardner and her friend to Hall's apartment. This is a different case.
This is a brand new case.
This is the case where Half Pierre went and trafficked them across state lines. This is now another case.
Correct.
Man, this guy is finished. Wow. Apparently, Gardner's friend, who isn't named in the lawsuit, was also assaulted by Coombs and Hall. Upon information and belief where Coombs finished with Lisa, he and Hall switched and they commenced assaulting Lisa. It's just disgusting. It's vile. It's all linked together. I said when we started doing this Diddy series, I had a feeling that this case was going to get as big as Epstein. Well, I think now it's actually going to start getting a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I think so. This seems to be snowballing now, doesn't it? From that point of view.
There's no stopping it. And he made a statement that if he goes, he's taking them all down. And then Jaguar Wright, she's saying that Sean Coombs, AJZ, is far worse.
Well,
he's so smarmy about it and kind of, but you know, whereas Jay-Z takes his time, you know, Jay-Z and Diddy were both linked with R. Kelly to do with Aaliyah's death. And I mean, what a loss she was. Then there was Lisa Left Eye Lopez. She went in weird circumstances as well.
He was in a plane one there. Lisa
yes,
Left Eye.
As was Aaliyah.
Aaliyah was, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's this is all hitting the fan, and I don't think anything's gonna slow that train down on Diddy. With Cat Williams, 50 Cent, and Kanye going after him, there are enough legitimate cases and documents and evidence and video evidence. He has provided most of the evidence that will be used against him. So I don't see how anybody that records every moment of their life can stand against these charges. There's no way.
Yeah. And you've got to think also of all of these young rappers who've been drawn into this hip hop world. They've been drawn in. They've got involved. They knew, they know they sold their souls basically. And I don't know if anyone saw it. It was a guy called, I think it's Yubo, his name is. And it was the dark side of hip hop. The first episode that he did, about an hour long. Oh, it was hard going to watch. Like young kids on the street, doing their rapping on the street. They get picked up. They get promised. They get drawn into stuff. Yeah, it's just tragic to see the state of what they're doing to themselves. And it's, you know, when I was younger, it was the old days of, you know, the hip hop, you know, Run DMC and there was Diddy, wasn't there? There was that little quiz thing I did on Facebook. What was number one on such and such a day of your birthday? And it came back bloody Diddy.
Oh, no way.
On the Rodney Jones case.
All right.
It says Rodney Jones lawsuit not settled despite docket update. This was today at 11:25 a.m., so from just a few hours ago. It's from TMZ, and it says, update, and just like that, the court docket for Diddy's case has been wiped of any word of a settlement. So it seems the federal court, there in New York realized they'd made a mistake. So apparently Diddy's case, stemming from a lawsuit filed by a producer he worked with, appears to have been settled in court, but it's a total mistake and this ain't over yet, TMZ has learned. An official court docket update came through Wednesday on the Jones versus Combs case out of New York City and suggests Diddy and Rodney Jones have come to terms and reached a settlement agreement. Per the court document, a settlement conference was held Wednesday, and it was apparently revealed that Diddy and Rodney are not only reached a settlement, but the two parties would submit a draft of their agreement by next week. The docket update also says the parties appeared for the Wednesday conference by video. However, as it turns out, this is not true whatsoever. Sources with direct knowledge from both sides of the case tell TMZ this lawsuit is very much still on and that no settlement has been reached. We're told the court staff there seems to have really screwed up. Very interesting, because that's what they normally do. They usually say, oh, it's settled, right? Do you not think the courts are involved in this as much as the police and as much as everybody else? They've got people everywhere, and it's flushing those people out, and I love that. So the long story short, it was a false claim, false alarm, as we're told Diddy plans to fight this case. Remember, he's denied all of Rodney's claims, which covered a wide range of salacious topics. And yeah.
Kat, what's going on? I'm going to try and release that chat we had with Kimberly yesterday. It's really, really important, is it not? And people need to listen to it. Maybe just give us your thoughts on
it. It is important. It's vital, especially from a social services point of view anyway, for people to know what to do at the first port of call. Everyone needs to listen to it. I know Kim has done a couple of videos. The first video went really well. The second video was definitely being censored. She did another one earlier as well. So go on Kimberly Isherwood's wall and have a look at her mini-sized ones. But we have got a full show, and it was brilliant, really informative show. So once that's out, we'll get it round. It's vital that you do that. And just for the last now, before we go, I just want to just again reiterate parents about children and their devices. You've got to check them. Please don't think that it's all fine and, you know, you've got to check them, especially if your child becomes a little bit withdrawn and they start changing a little bit as well. These little things you've got to look out for, do you know what I mean? They're in danger with those devices. There's absolutely no doubt, whether that's Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is, you've got to monitor it. So that's all I wanted to say, that is. So yeah, that's all I have. Sorry, guys.
Right, we've gone on way too long. I actually forgot we were on a show then, and I was just thought we were just browsing news and having a chat. But we will be back tomorrow, as always. LibertyTactics.co.uk, Catherine's website, ExposingTheLie.info. There is some really important blog posts to read there to get an understanding of where the education has come from and the history behind it all, and it will shock you to the very core, and also the serious dangers of pornography. Serious dangers of pornography. Christine will be here tomorrow, hopefully, as well as Catherine and maybe Jason Nota.
Oh, yes,
yeah, Tuesday.
He's on Tuesday. Brilliant. Good night, guys. Lots of love. God bless.
Good night, everyone. God bless. Christine, say good night.
Good night, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.